Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or hello to whenever or wherever you're listening to this. I must admit, this is a bit odd for me. I can't remember the last time I didn't go to church on Sunday morning. Always just been part of the rhythm of my life, I guess. And I know that would be the case for many of you as well. What we want to do at ECBC, as the church has now left the building, is to try and think of different ways we can all engage with God and continue to grow in our relationship with Him. And who knows, maybe this whole experience could be quite powerful for us as individuals and as a church. There's going to be stuff put out on email. I put one of those out this week with a couple of little thoughts, and Facebook, I stuck a video on there yesterday again with some thoughts, and I'll try and keep this sermon page up to date with new things as and when they come into my brain, and try and get something out at least once a week on Sunday, certainly for us to think about and reflect on as a community. I'm also aware that there's so many churches all doing this similar stuff, so it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of listen to different voices and read different things. I know I'm going to try and be doing that over the next few weeks as well. And if you found anything good and want to share it, do stick it on the Earls Cone Baptist Facebook page and we can learn together, which would be quite good. I've been praying and reading this week. I want us to look at, as a church, I want us to look at Luke 9. Now, the last sermon I did, which is on the website, was on the Peter's amazing realization that Jesus is the Christ. And I was reading through the rest of the chapter as Luke records that. And a lot of it, I think, is quite pertinent to us as a body and us today in the light of this situation. I put a little video up on Facebook yesterday about verse 23, whoever wants me to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This morning, I thought we could look at the next passage together. Now, at this point, I'll probably hand over to a reader to read it, but I haven't got one of those because I'm just doing this in my bedroom, so I'll read it for us. Maybe I should do it in a different voice. No, don't do that, Seven. Let's read it. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendour, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfilment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but then they became fully awake and saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that your word tells us not to be afraid. We thank you that you promise to be with us, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you walk by our side, you comfort us. I pray that this morning or this afternoon or whenever we hear this, we would experience something of your peace for us as individuals and our families and our nation and our world. And God, as we look at this passage, I pray that you would give us all new revelation about how you're speaking to us through your word, that we would catch a glimpse of something of your glory as we look at this together. Amen. Amen. About 8 days after this, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up a mountain to pray. I'm not very good at going up the mountain, which is a bit of a spiritual phrase, I guess, to mean a bit of isolation, bit of time to reflect, bit of time just with God. I'm not very good at doing it, which is, I know, is very bad. I'm naturally a bit of an extrovert and enjoy social interaction, and I have a tendency to make myself quite busy with probably stuff that doesn't really matter. And this challenges me that Jesus takes Peter, John, and James with him up the mountain, because even for Jesus, who was God, there's an importance in being intentional about your relationships. He's got his kind of people around him that he most trusts in the world, these three guys. And then he goes up the mountain in order to pray. Now, I know that this is a very worrying time for a lot of people, but there's a bit of it that I'm excited about, this next season of social distancing or isolation or whatever it's being called, as a chance to take time to pray and to spend some quality time with God. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. And then as he does this, this is amazing, isn't it? As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. You can't keep a fire going without fuel. You can burn for a little while longer, but if you haven't got a decent fuel supply, we all know that everything just kind of fizzles out. If we want to live a bright life, if we want to live a life that reflects something good and honourable and wonderful, if we want to live a life that reflects something of God's love, then we need to spend time in his presence, hearing from him, and therefore reflecting his glory. And as Jesus doesn't shine like this any other time. He doesn't shine like this in front of the crowds. He doesn't shine like this when he's doing the miracles. He shines like this when he's with the close group of people he trusts, when he's up a mountain, and when he's praying. And for me, too often, I look for the big crowds to find God's glory. I look for the big services or the big worship events, or I look for the big group. But maybe as we're forced to narrow and shrink the radius of our life, maybe in those more intimate moments we'll truly learn to reflect this glory. Maybe then our faces will burn brighter with his love and with his light. Verse 30. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Baffling, isn't it? Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor. Now, a lot could be said about why it was Moses and Elijah and how they represent kind of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, and that's all wonderful and good. My dad always asked, how on earth did they know it was Moses and Elijah? I mean, did they have name badges? You just recognise Moses? Well, probably not. I've never seen them. Just the biggest beard. I don't know. Who has the bigger beard? Anyway, that's beside the point. Two men, Moses and Elijah, however they were recognised, appeared in glorious splendour, talking with Jesus. And as I say, I'm sure there were lots of reasons why it was Moses and Elijah specifically. As I read this, the thought that came to me, when we pray, we connect with our history. Because for the disciples, Moses and Elijah represent God's faithfulness. The disciples, Peter, James and John, would have grown up and been schooled in the stories of Moses and Elijah. These great men of God of the past in their nation who had brought something of God's kingdom into Israel. It told them their story. It reminded them of where they've come from. Don't know about you, but I forget stuff really easily. I did remember Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day for all the mothers listening. If you're not a mother and you've forgotten, then it's probably too late, but I recommend a phone call at this juncture in order to make amends. I forget stuff easily. And I very quickly forget God's faithfulness in the past. So whenever I'm faced with a new challenge or something, I think, oh my word, how on earth am I going to overcome this? How could God possibly move now? And I need to be reminded of my history. I needed to be reminded of what God has done for me as an individual in the past, what God has done for our family and my family in the past, what God has done over the last week and month and year and perhaps generations. We needed to be reminded of our history. The Bible says, do not be afraid. The Bible says, God is faithful. I've been trying to listen to a few more worship songs this last week, and so many of them talk about God's faithfulness. So many of them talk about, do not be afraid. So many of them talk about God being with us, because We need to remind ourselves of where we've come from. We need to remind ourselves of the rich history for us as individuals, for us as a nation, for us as a church, that God has been faithful to us. And as the three disciples and Jesus are up on this mountain and the glory's there, there's something about their history that they recognise. God is faithful. The God who has brought us this far will not leave us now. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendour, talking with Jesus. And then, verse 31. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, which seems to be a recurring theme for the disciples. Garden of Gethsemane, on the boat. Actually, no, not on the boat. That was Jesus who was sleeping, wasn't it? My mistake. But Peter and his companions were very sleepy. When they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Too often for me, I don't spend time on the mountain. I don't spend time with God in a quiet place. I don't spend time with a close group of people that I really trust, because I want to be engaged with everything all the time. Like a puppy who's overly excited. I recognise a bit of my character trait in Boaz at the moment, where he's got quite a short attention span and just wants to do everything all the time. And I sometimes catch myself, this is difficult for me to admit, but I sometimes catch myself of an evening just surrounded by screens. And it's difficult to admit because I know it's not good for me. And I've got like a phone and laptop, TV. Some of us have got smartwatches. All of them shouting for my attention. And if you want to be engaged with everything all at once, it just makes life blurry. It doesn't make you more alive. It makes it much harder to focus. It means that you keep reaching for your pocket, for your phone, even when no one's messaged you, or it means that you find it harder to sleep because you've got too many blue lights going on in your mind. Whatever it is. And everything becomes a bit blurry. In order to become fully awake, the disciples don't have to be engaged with everything all the time. They need to focus on what's important. The key to becoming fully alive and fully engaged and fully awake is to fully focus on what matters. To quiet down all the other voices that are jostling for our attention. To focus on the glory. To focus on Jesus. To become aware of God's glory in the thing right in front of us. Not always looking to the left and the right and the next endorphin fix from the last message. When the disciples became fully awake, they saw his glory. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to see God's glory. I want to see him move. I want to focus on Jesus. Because we're forced to spend time alone, forced to spend it with just a few close friends or family as our radius of our life shrinks. Let's not waste a chance to climb the mountain. Let's not waste a chance to reignite and refuel the fire. Let's not waste a chance to become brighter as we reflect his glory and his love. Let's not waste a chance to remind ourselves of where we've come from, of how God has been faithful in the past, and we can be confident that he'll be faithful in the future. We can remind ourselves of a history of him acting on our behalf. Let's not waste a chance to hear the ancient promises that he spoke over your life. Let's not waste the chance to become fully awake and fully engaged and fully alive to the glory in front of us. Not to be distracted by everything, but to quieten our minds and put our eyes on what really matters. The author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And as we do that, maybe we will experience his glory all the more vividly. and all the richer. That's my prayer for us as individuals and as a community over the next few weeks. Amen.